Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Dealers of Ireland. Our showrooms are open for business with your health and safety our priority. For more, log on to kia.com.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. There have been some horrific farm accidents recently. It's not a new phenomenon, but with the lockdown and the incredibly good weather and the weather ahead of us over the next few days and people staying in place means there's a lot more activity on the farm. And to warn us in many ways and try and remind people of the dangers on the farm, the simple dangers, I'm talking to Donal Kennedy. Donal, good afternoon.
How are you, Joe?
Good, how are you?
Not too bad.
Okay. Your son, John, died in a quad bike accident. He was 25, by the way, a young man. He died in a quad bike accident on the family farm in 2017. Donald, if you don't mind, can you tell us what happened?
He started off, they were all interested in farming. I have four lads here, myself and Winnie. And there were all the sort of milk cows from the time they were able to milk cows with me, and they taught how to milk cows and farm and the whole job. But John, the farm, we were making here about 60, 70 cows, and for one of the lads to come home and help myself and Winnie, we needed to up the cows to pay their wages.
Okay.
And John, they're all done their leaving cert. John went to WIT in Waterford, done engineering, got past all his subjects, got his engineering, and he declared then when he had that done that he wanted to go to Australia, had fixed up a job in Australia, working on a farm, Moxie Farm in Australia, it's a big farm.
Okay.
And he went out there, worked out there for a year and a half. He come home, he stayed out there for the first, he went in September, and he stayed out there for a year and a half, as I say. He didn't come home the first Christmas, but he come home the second Christmas. Couldn't settle down. He come back then in about March, April of that year, and he done actually an interview over the internet, and he got a farm manager's job below in West Cork. He stayed down there for a couple of years, and he come back home here in January of 2017. Daniel actually done a farm manager's course, the eldest chap, and he had two children, and the farm wasn't paying enough, so he went to the buildings, and John allowed he come back, he set up a grass measuring business, and he get enough money out of that, along with what we'd be able to pay him, and he'd be able to come back full-time and farm with us. He come back, as I said, in January. We were farming away here, perfect. He'd set up his business. He had organised lads to go measuring grass. And we went out here 15th of March 2017 at half six in the morning, the two of us. And the way it worked was he'd go out and he'd bring in the cows. He'd change the strip wire and come on back and I'd start the cows.
So he'd head out on the quad bike?
Exactly. Yeah. He had it out on the quad bike that morning, and I had milked two rows in the parlour about 15 or 20 minutes, and there was no sign of the cows coming back or him coming back.
Okay.
Winnie, the wife, was down in the calf shed doing the calves, and I went down to her and I said, there's something wrong. And I went and I got into the tractor and went searching for him.
Yeah.
Went out the fields, and I went to the paddock that the cows were in, drove around all that, and could see no quad or no him or nothing, called them, couldn't find them. I'd actually, there's a ravine, a little bit of a stream on the farm, and that's probably about 20 foot from the top of the ravine down to the bottom of it. And I had went there when I went over, just got down off the tractor, walked over, heard nothing or seen nothing. Went to the paddock, so was coming back in, there was a cow was in front of me, and instead of her, she could have went, turned left to go home, and she turned right and she went back towards the ravine. Uh-huh. And I got down out of the tractor and went after to bring her back. And when I went to the ravine, I called and I heard a quad running in the ravine. And he was actually wearing a pair of wellies that morning. He had, there were white soles on the wellies. Yeah. And unfortunately, when I went back and heard the quad running, I seen the white soles in under the quad. Now, I was the very same as the quad. The banks of the quad were holding the quad. The wheels were just sitting on the banks of the ravine. Mm-hmm. And if he had been alive, he'd have been able to get out from in under the quad, no bother. But as it turned out, when we had the autopsy and all, he had broke his neck. He had come off the top of the ravine, obviously just a split second took his eye off the ball, I went back several times, and I reckon what happened was that very same cow that led me back, she come down the ravine come down the lane the very same, turned back and went over across the ravine. It was only a cow track where he went with the quad, and I reckon it was that same cow that he went after with the quad.
To corral her back in and get her into
exactly.
When you got down to him?
When I got down to him, then I had to get the quad off him. And there was the only way I could get the quad off him actually was to get the back wheel of the quad, and I had to turn it right head over heels. It was a 500cc quad. I actually, as it turned out, I actually fractured the vertebrae in my back doing that, a doctor was giving me painkillers to get over the funeral and all. But I got down to him anyway. I got turned the quad over down into the rest of the ravine and got down to him. And I sort of pulled him up out of the ravine and was walking on. But I sort of had an idea that he was dead when I went to him. Winnie walked over and she come over. She was first there and she come over and she just kept shouting and screaming at me to just keep walking on him, and I did that.
Yeah.
The other three lads come in, and we had to lift them up out of the ravine and up into the field, and I started walking on him then. And Colin, the youngest lad, he rang the ambulance, and we were probably we had him out in the field walking on him, and everyone roaring and crying and just couldn't accept it. And we were probably over there for half an hour, rang the ambulance, and we had spilled rain. The ambulance had to come over actually a cow lane, and it was very, very wet at the time, very mucky at the time. We had to carry him home halfway to meet the ambulance. There was two lads at his legs. I was with another son on his shoulders, and Winnie was at his head howling his head, carrying him over to the ambulance.
But you knew.
And that's where I was unfortunately.
Oh, what a tragedy. And you knew at that stage, Donald, that
I knew that, like, his head was. When I was doing CPR on him, I was started giving him air, and I went back to work on his chest, and I felt his stomach, and it was just a whole heap of water in his stomach, I knew there was something radically wrong inside with him, But at that stage, I didn't know. I actually said to the doctor that was treating me for the vertebrae that was broken me back, that she told me, that more than likely it was that his blood system bursted inside. I sort of had an idea at that stage, he'd done his neck. But, it was a whole, everything was just, after that, it was just a sort of a blur. 17, the undertaker took him away. Then the ambulance people actually were absolutely brilliant. They gave us all the time in the world to go in and look at him, to clean them up and look at him. And he had a girlfriend, a wonderful girlfriend, let her in and let her look at him and make her peace with him. Winnie the same, and the lads the same. And then the undertaker took him, and lucky enough, we had him back here Wednesday night to wake him. And we waked him for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and we buried him Saturday. And the amount of young people, neighbours, was the very same. When I went over, I found them and all and rang the neighbours and they were over here and they finished off the milking of the cows and milked the cows then for the rest of the week and not a bother, not a question asked and they were absolutely second to none. You know, it was unbelievable.
Because that's the thing about a farm, it has to keep going. You mentioned the heifer. Did you say earlier that the heifer that you reckon, and I reckon that's a pretty correct analysis of what probably happened. The heifer bolted in the other direction. Yeah. Donald probably flicked around quickly to try and catch John. Sorry, John flicked around to catch her. Sorry, Don. John flicked around to catch her, and that's when it went over. But that heifer was. John had received it as part payment for work on a farm.
That's right. It was unbelievable. It was part of his salary. He was actually working for Donovan's below in West Cork.
Yeah.
Damien Donovan. And there's a little story to that now too. Derry is Damien's father. Mm-hmm. And he come up here. John's girlfriend had actually went down to live with him in West Cork and she was working in a chemist below in Skibbereen and they'd been down there for the good of 2 years. But Derry come up here, the father come up here, he was with Damien and the family and they were skitting about it that the heifer's her number was 3219.
Yeah.
And John had picked out, he'd looked at the Derry does all the AIing down on the farm and a couple of farms down there, the son's farms, and Derry had picked out this same heifer that he wanted to keep and John had picked her out as of the heifers that he wanted to take away.
Yeah, yeah.
And that very same heifer is the heifer that led me back to war. And maybe, as I say, that's just on his surmising that probably was the heifer that he was going after too. I don't know, but she led me back to that where he was anyway, and that's all I know.
And you said you mentioned that the neighbours were brilliant, but like how do you keep going on a farm? It's not like you're in an office or a factory where you can phone in sick. You can't on a farm, as we know, 24/7, 365. How did you keep going, Don?
Well, we had struggled when we were waking them here. You know, people would be coming in and shaking hands to you, and they'd be saying, you may keep strong for winning the three lads.
Yeah.
And I kept strong, got over the funeral, got over all that. But after about 3 weeks, I think it was, the whole yoke just come down on me like a ton of bricks. Yeah. To be quite straight with you, I wanted to be with John. That's where I was. Yeah. I had enough of this whole world and... Mm. We were dealt this hand and I just couldn't deal with the hand that we were dealt with and I had to go and get counselling. But the biggest one, I was going out and I actually went out onto the farm. We buried him Saturday and I went out onto the farm and just walked around the farm. And when we have the milking parlour on the farm, there's a sliding door on the collecting yard where we bring the cows in and you close the door behind them. But every time you open that sliding door, you're looking over exactly at the hole where John died.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get my head around that at all. It was absolutely tearing me apart. And I just stopped. I couldn't milk cows. Mm-hmm. Colin had a job. He was working with a company down the road here. And they were absolutely brilliant, giving time off to just come up and give the other two lads a hand. And they were actually the saviours. The three of them were the saviours of the farm.
If I had
been on my own and no one else to just line in, the farm would have been gone. There would have been no farm there, to be quite straight, because I just couldn't bring myself to
Could you even go out on the land?
No. I just everywhere, we're sort of on browy land here, as hilly land, and it doesn't matter. When you go over onto the farm, you are looking, it doesn't matter really where you're on the farm, you can see where John died on the farm, from wherever you are on the farm. It's unbelievable. But then at the same time, it is that he was in Australia, he was in West Cork, and Winnie and myself have fantastic faith. I not more so up until that, but she had fantastic faith, and like, our attitude is that we had four sons and we always will four sons, and he was working in mysterious ways, probably keeping us going or whatever. Mm. Like, I'm still convinced that he's still around us and keeping the whole job going, yeah, looking after every one of us, and, you know. But it's just the hole that you're in. Like, mm, lucky enough, you can't. I'd be only a sort of a social drinker, to be quite straight with mm-hmm. you, but when he died, I test everything to the limit. I stopped drinking completely. Mm-hmm. I test everything to the utmost limit. I test your relationship. I test your relationship with your family. Yeah. Everything is tested to the absolute limit. And if you don't talk, you're in big, big trouble too. Yeah. You know? And I had a fantastic, as it turned out, I had a fantastic sister that I should help manage sleepless nights with me that I could talk to. Mm-hmm. And I had a fantastic, I would have to say, first cousin that he was walking up in Dublin at the time. And my God, there was times he'd be sitting with me at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. He'd have to be up at 6 o'clock to go to Dublin that morning. Yeah. But he stayed with me in all fairness mm-hmm. to him, and we talked and we cried and we talked and we cried. Yeah. And that's the way it was, you know. I was just tired.
Yeah. And okay, we began talking about farm accidents, but this, Donal, what you're talking about now, and it's affecting so many people at the minute, is simply that awful big black hole of grief, of grieving right. somebody who dies before their time.
And that's right.
Yeah, and that's happening to so many people.
There was actually,
so many people
there was
at
actually,
the moment.
There was actually people like that I know that have lost. Like, you take the lads here, the very same. They have lost a brother. There's people have lost a brother. There was people come to me. I know what you're on about. I know where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. But unless you've lost a child, I tell you the truth, no one knows where a person is coming from when they've lost a child. This world is not built for burying your own child. They should bury you.
Yeah.
And that was I just couldn't come to terms or with that at all. It was horrendous, to be quite straight with you. That was at the very start, like for the whole of 2017 and into 18, I couldn't accept that at all. Yeah. Why he had to go and I was still here. I'd have went gladly for him, to be quite straight with you. You know,
and I know when you were talking to Rich earlier and you were remembering the little things, he used to have a single bottle of Miller every
right.
evening when he came in.
He was, a story with that was when he was out in Australia.
Yeah.
He, every day they come in out in Australia, it's the one thing they carry around, a bottle of Miller, and they'd have bottles here and bottles there the whole day during working. But
yeah.
his whole job when he come home here was that he'd come in, get his supper. And he'd have a bottle of Miller every evening. Did not matter. Without fail, he'd have a bottle of Miller after getting his supper, and that'd be it.
Yeah.
But I come to the wake, and Colin, the youngest lad, come to me the day, actually, we were going in to pick out his coffin, Thursday.
Mm.
And he said to me, look at daddy, he said, what's the story on, there's a whole heap of young people here, and what's the story on drink? And I said, look at Colin, I said, I'll ask your mother when we're going in or coming mm-hmm. home and see what the feeling is about that. And we were coming home after picking out his coffin.
Mm-hmm.
Myself and Daniel and the girl, Anto, the girlfriend, and myself and Winnie were in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, coming back, as you well know, you know Gorey, coming back
yeah.
under the railway bridge there, coming
mm-hmm.
out to the petrol station.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned around to Winnie and she was in the back of the car and I said, look it. I said, I'm asking you the question I was asked to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Colin wants to know, what's the story with drinks? He says, I want no drink whatsoever at the wake.
Yeah.
And I come home and I said it to him and he took it, not a butter on him whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Young people come in, drank tea, had sandwiches, talk, sat in the sitting room, sat up the whole night. Another thing was during the wake that I said at the very start that I didn't want John in the wake room on his own at any one time. And the young lads, his friends, the friends he had, the friends of the lads that are still there, they'd be watching the whole time, and if you stepped over, there'd be always someone in the way.
Mm, lovely. Yeah.
But Friday night come anyway. I know I'm prolonging the whole
job. No, you're very. I just think one is it's about just be extra careful. And there's no fault of John's in this. It was a freak accident in that sense. But for people just to be one extra careful in life generally on the road, yeah. And two, just the loss, the incalculable loss that people that you are going through, and that people are going through at the minute, and the extra burden at the minute, Donal, is that. You mentioned the wake and how important it was, and the lads standing guard over him, and so many people now can't even do that.
It's absolutely terrible, though. That's now we were actually talking about it there when you rang me there this morning. The family was talking here this morning, and you know the virus is the biggest thing. Like people, and we the wake is a major like the. The amount of satisfaction we got out of Wake, people coming in, the young people, the older generation, my generation, were talking about the amount of young people, how well-mannered they were, to go in and sit down in the sitting room, talk about the times they had with him. It was unbelievable. I tell you what, the older generation say, they know, aren't we quite lucky with the younger generation that's coming on after us. You know, they were an absolute credit to
including your own boys, including your own family.
Exactly. Oh, it was unbelievable. But I just want to finish with the bottle. Friday night here come then, and I knew I was in a hall and I wouldn't have been able to do the eulogy in the chapel. Okay. Colin took that on his shoulders and done a brilliant job on it. And I was here Friday night about 2 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I said I actually went to Winnie first, and I asked her, would it be all right? I said, John, every evening he come in, he had his bottle of Miller. And I said, would it be all right? I said, if we went in and got a couple of bottles of Miller, and we'd salute him before Saturday we close the coffin. Yeah. And she accepted it. And okay. I tell you the truth, they went in and got their bottles of Miller. There was the amount of, I'd say there was 40, 50 young lads here, and some of my generation here when I was at the top of the coffin, and I gave my eulogy at the top of the coffin, and we had a drink on them.
Yeah.
And them lads drank until 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and them lads got up and cleaned the whole house up spotless for the funeral to go out Saturday morning. And went home and got an hour's sleep and were back in their suits.
To pay their respects, yeah.
And we had left that his friends, Colin's friends, Daniel's friends and Mark's friends, they carried the coffin into the church, out of the church, and we carried him to the grave. The family carried him to the grave. And I just went to Donny Kavanagh, was probably the king of his best friends, him and Tom Halpin, and they went. I just went to Donny as he was there, and I said, you organise all that. And them lads come on with their suits, black ties, probably all the lads' friends, and they carried his coffin in and out of the church after all that.
And you know, it's still in the relatively recent past. Donald, how is everybody now?
We were here as the weather turned out, when I found him in the hall, as I call it, the hall, it was a ravine, but I always, at that stage, I said that I wanted to cover it in and pull a bridge across it. Yeah. And here in the, we started at, and we covered in the hall, done cow lanes, redone the cow lanes, and made some of the land a bit safer to drive on.
Okay.
And when we had the bridge done, I don't know what went wrong then, but maybe it was a final close down on the hall for me, but I may go back for counselling again. And that's where I am. I'm really back. It's all right, you know, it's all right. People say, oh, God, he's some man to be able to talk on radio today, but you never know what's going on inside four walls or what's going on inside a person's head. But I know, like, I know when I come to a stage, I may go for counselling again, and I'm at that stage again, like, you know. It's just whether it's a final chapter on the whole, and now it's John's Bridge, and it's been on as John's Bridge from now on, the whole is gone. I don't know, but I just need to get it sorted out. That's all I do know.
And it's brilliant that you can talk about it, Donald. It's just incredible, and it's incredible that your one can capture that grief so vividly and so honestly, and then to say that you are prepared to go and talk to some, not apart from your family who you talk to all the time, but you go and talk to someone else professionally, which is great as well. That's another lesson and education for people.
But it's really a sort of, I would have to actually go back to a start. The whole York sort of kicked off in the ploughing match last year. And I was at the ploughing match, and there was an embrace tractor going around last year, I think it was, or the year before last. And they were collecting wellies belonging to people that had died on farms.
Right.
And the tractor actually happened to be, it was a brand new tractor, was sponsored and all, and there was just a cage on the back of it to collect the wellies in each county.
Yeah.
And Embrace Farm Ireland and Mockra were running the whole yoke. And I was actually, I wasn't wanting to give up the wellies for the simple reason that was the last thing I knew that John was wearing and I'd be able to hold on to. And that was another stepping stone. But I went to the family. We had a family, and so sister and the first cousin, and everyone asked her opinion on it. And they said it'd be probably the best thing of all to put the wellies in the cage. Put the wellies in the cage anyway and went ahead, and that was the end of it. But I was at the ploughing last year in Carlow. And myself and Mark and Daniels, we have one grandchild and a granddaughter. And Daniel, the grandchild, was with us. And the wellies were all up on a bar in the ploughing match on the embrace, the farm safety stand.
And just to remind people, it's a way of reminding people of the number of farms. And I heard another powerful interview with Damien O'Reilly on Countrywide a few Saturdays ago with Angela Hogan. It was her partner Brendan Keddy died in a farm accident during silage season in 2011. Yeah. But the grief is enduring. It really is. It really is.
Yeah.
Okay, Embrace Farm is an organisation that was set up to support families of the people who were killed or got serious injuries in farm accidents. What a wonderful organisation. What a wonderful idea. But it just shows you how more common than we I think sometimes farm accidents are. We'll tweet all the information about Embrace Farm. It's at Embrace Farm on Twitter at the minute. I know Mairead McGuinness, MEP, is a big supporter of it. Donald, thanks indeed for sharing that. Thank you so much, and look after yourself.
George, there's just one thing I just want to say before you go.
Okay.
That it doesn't matter farming the way it is. It's just that if you count it to 10, it's an instant instinct of turn around, go, go, go. But if you just count it to 10 before that happens, it could save a lot of lives. And another big thing is talk.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Talk was the only thing that helped me, to be quite straight with you. And people, especially men in farming, bottle everything up and keep it to themselves. Women are better at talking. But just talk. It doesn't matter who you talk to. Just talk to someone.
Well said. Well said, Donald. And well demonstrated in the last 25 minutes by yourself. May John rest in peace, Donald.
Thanks very much, Joe.
And condolences to Daniel, Mark and Colin. Aren't they your three sons? His brothers. And Antoinette, I think, was his partner, you mentioned.
His partner, yeah.
Okay. And Winnie, wonderful Winnie.
Right. She is the rock of the whole job, Joe. I can't forget her.
Yeah, well, I cannot imagine
you
to find your boy and then Winnie to arrive along. That image
That's horrendous.
You carrying him to the ambulance, Winnie holding his head, the boys holding his legs, and you holding his body.
Yeah.
You've been through an awful lot. You've been through an awful lot to lose a great boy like that.
Yeah.
Donald, thanks indeed. Thanks indeed. And kind regards, as I say, to you, Winnie, Daniel, Mark and Colin, and fond memories of a great young man. Taken at 25, that is John Kennedy. Thanks indeed, Donald. Mind yourself and stay well. 5155. Would please, people. I know. I won't preach. No, just people. Donald's words are the education themselves. No need for me to do a sermon at the end of about safety and all that. Carry on. 5155. My chance.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
A very strong and moving reaction to Donald Kennedy talking about the death on his farm, on their farm, of his son, John, 25. By the way, Embrace Farm is very easy to find on the net. It's embracefarm.com. They're looking, they're there to support people who've had serious injuries or indeed families who've experienced bereavement on true farm accidents. And they're also trying to build up a list of a memorial list, I suppose, but embracefarm.com now prompted people to contact us, including Fiona Doolan. Fiona, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Okay, you say I heard Donald and I understand exactly how he feels.
Yeah. We lost our son, it'd be 21 years ago now. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to say to Donald that, and Winnie, that they're never really gone. They're always part of your life. Yeah. Like we have three other children, and even my daughter, she was only 15 months. But, you know, because of all the stories we told, she'd say, oh, yeah, Tom would love that. Or, so he's always part of our talk and part of our lives. And it's a terrible, and, like, really nobody understands, unless Donald said that, unless you've lost a child yourself. But people can be very empathetic. Even if they haven't lost a child, people are so good and... that's all I really wanted to say.
And what age was Tom, Fiona?
Tom was 5 when the accident happened, and he had his 6th birthday then before he died. We were in France, and we came back by air ambulance, and he was in Crumlin for 9 months.
Oh, God.
So he was what they call a vegetative state.
Ah.
But I felt he could hear me, you know.
Okay,
he was,
okay.
Yeah. But that's all I wanted to say to Donald.
And I was talking to a friend of mine. We fell in together walking, as they say, early this morning on the Bull Wall. And he had, you won't mind me saying this, his wife had this accident in Italy. It's 10 years ago now. But they didn't know. They'd no Italian. They were in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
How did you manage? What?
Oh, how did we manage?
Were you on your own when it happened? Were you?
We had just arrived in France, and sort of we were all mixed up, and I was cleaning the caravan. And, oh, Jesus! Between the digs, the real poor Tom, and he was in the pool. So then we went from there to the local hospital, and then he was brought by air ambulance up to Brest. So we used to have to drive 70 miles a day up to Brest and back to the the holiday resort until my brother came over to take the other children home. But there was a lovely nurse there, and she brought in, it reminded me of my French-English dictionary when I was in school, her school French-English dictionary. And between us, we managed, in that part of France, they don't have an awful lot of English. And we just had school French, so we did. That's the way we managed. And also, the other thing, Joe, I must emphasise, people should never go abroad without travel insurance. Yeah. The travel insurance had doctors that used to ring us, talk to the doctors in French, ring us back, talk to us in English.
Wow.
They also sent a representative who happened to be in France up to Brest to look after us. They were marvellous,
That's great. Because a lot of people, I heard a lot of people saying recently, I'm going to cancel my multi trip or whatever because we won't be going away. But anyway,
But you can, you know, just remember to get it before.
Yeah,
I know
he
won't be going away anytime soon. Yeah, but so that's my Tom, and he's always part of
He died in Our Ladies.
He died in Our Ladies. Wonderful, wonderful place, Our Ladies. Yeah, we used to go there. It was St. Anford at the moment. I went back there. A friend of mine had a sick child, and St. Anford, it's not. I think it's a speciality ward now. It's not just the general ward. Well, he was in ICU first. Oh, they were marvellous. And they actually were very disappointed with the care he got in France. Some of his lines had got infected. And, I mean, they were just... I don't know if people appreciate, like, the wonderful care we get here in Ireland. Absolutely top class.
God rest Tom. But as you say, he'll never be... He's never out of your thoughts. He's still part of your family.
John would be part of that. You could hear that they're a lovely family.
John is part of their lives.
Yeah.
Okay, Fiona.
Thanks indeed. Bye-bye.
You too. Albert Porcel. Albert, again, during the conversation, I mentioned the piece I heard on Countrywide with Angela Hogan talking about Brendan. You were a friend of Brendan, is that correct?
That's right. Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
And he was lost in a farm accident as well, wasn't he? It was silage time.
Yeah, and in the 14th of July 2011, it was just, I got the tail end of the interview with that gentleman who lost his son tragically. But I'm just coming on that when I heard your story and mentioned Angela and Brendan, I was a good friend of Brendan's, but just to, and something else happened. I was passing the field that Brendan worked on when you were talking about him, and then a silage outfit passed me and they had a fatality. I know of four, I won't mention names, but it's just what's going on in social media and TikTok at the moment.
Oh, that's stupid, carry that on.
Whatever it's doing to families of the people that have suffered the fatalities.
So you know three different families.
Four families, including Brendan, yeah.
You know four families who are dealing with a farm fatality over the years.
Yes. Wow. And not through stupidity or...
Yeah, I know, and a freak accident.
I'm not going into the details, but just freak. And it's what's going on at the moment. It's affecting us. I have two sons farming, and I know one of them working for a contractor and couldn't be safer.
These videos, they've been reported on the newspapers. They're a gang of... Egypts acting the maggot, driving tractors and quad bikes up hills and doing U-ies, and it's just extraordinarily dangerous.
And what it's doing to the families. But just I plead with them. I know that Tim Cullinan, I know him from the IFA, I know Embrace, because we do a tractor run in Nene every year for them. But I know they're pleading with them. We're just pleading as farmers. I know the contractors are. It's only 0.1% of people, the idiots that are doing these stupid things that are affecting us, and we want it to stop.
Here. Good God.
You know?
Good God. But even that statistic, which you've humanised, that you know four different families that are dealing with farm fatalities, is just chilling, as you say, chilling.
Yeah, we don't need to be reminded, but it's just, I plead with people, please, because it's affecting us more. I was talking to a nature researcher there, and I didn't realise how much it hit me, but just to hear Angela's name and Brendan, and it brings it all back, and we don't need it, you know, we don't need it. I plead with the people to stop.
How do you so vividly remember the date, Albert? You remember the date?
He was buried on my birthday, and he died 4 days ago, 4 days before that, and I remember having to ring his guys to get them in home, and I'm a little bit of a messer, and I couldn't tell them over the phone, and they were wondering why were they being pulled up on a sunny day in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And I remember bringing back to my house and giving him a little shot of brandy to calm the nerve. Like, it was such a shock because he was so well known, and he covered our parade there at Christmas on RT News, and you'd see the turnout, but it's the contractors that do it because he was well thought of. But it was a freak accident. But I'm pleading for what they're doing at the moment on TikTok and social media. It's an accident waiting to happen, and just stop. That's it.
Okay, well said, Albert.
For giving us time to highlight it, because we need it to stop, and we need it to stop now.
Okay. Albert Porcel, thanks indeed, and remembering Brendan and those other individuals you knew who died in farm fatalities. Joe at RTE.ie.